Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Voices for Peace has been selected for a national prize for social innovation. The JMK Innovation Prize searches for initiatives that take measured risk but may also lead to transformative results. South Dakota Voices for Peace combines education, legal services, and advocacy to eliminate Islamophobia and anti-immigrant policies and to help children living in the state through immigration court proceedings. Tanisa Islam is Executive Director for South Dakota Voices for Peace, and she returns to the SDPB studios today in Sioux Falls. Hey, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Also with us on the phone, we have Amy Freitag. She is Executive Director of the J.M. Kaplan Fund. Amy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Amy, I want to start with you and put this prize in some context, because there aren't many organizations throughout the country who have been, who are on this very select list. Tell us about the prize and what you're looking for as you search for innovation.
Well, this is the third round of the JMK Innovation Prize. We started it in 2015, and we do it every other year. And basically, our goal was to reach out across the country and find really game-changing early-stage organizations that could take a real, we could really invest in for 3 years to lift up their work and really help them get to their goal. And so we had about 1,354 applications, to be exact, come in this year, and we're really excited that South Dakota Voices for Peace is among those top 10 winners from that group of 1,354 applicants.
So I'm going to let Tanisa talk about the organization for a bit, and then Amy, I'm going to ask you, kind of what stood out for you about South Dakota Voices of Peace. But Tanisa, for people who don't know what this organization does, tell us a little bit how you got started, because you're living in South Dakota as a fairly new, you moved here relatively recently to the state and found out some things that were happening in Pierre and became more of an advocate here in the state than you had been before.
Sure. Well, I'm an immigration lawyer, and I've done civil rights work back when I was in Minnesota. So I think that foundation has really catapulted the work that we're doing today. So in 2017, I received some phone calls from my fellow lobbyists in Pierre who said that they were starting to see some really ugly bills about Muslims, anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant, anti-refugee bills up there. Well, I did that work for about 8 years when I was in Minnesota. And when we moved here in 2012, I reshifted. I was a new mom, so I wasn't doing that work, and no one knew I did that work here except for a select few. So I did what I know to do, which is to organize the community, and we took impacted communities who would be immigrants, refugees, and Muslims to Pierre just to be present and to be able to testify on what the impact of some of these anti-Muslim immigrant bills would be. So since 2017, we have defeated 10 out of the 12 bills and resolutions that have been proposed. So our group really came together organically to fight those bills, but after session was done in March, we started to see it's because we were paying attention. We started to track anti-Muslim immigrant refugee events in our state, and to date, we've tracked over 36 such events. So this organic group, we came together and said, hey, I think we need to stay together and figure out what we can do about these issues. And so we incorporated with the state in October of 2017 and hit the ground running with education and rapid response work, because there was a lot of things we were reacting to in the community that was happening on a federal level as well as a regional and state level. And then we slowly just started to gel, and think about what our programming is. And then today we now have four main programming areas, which is education to the public. We do a lot of myth busting, if you will, on immigration law policies, as well as Muslims, who we are as a faith community and who we are here in South Dakota. Our kind of flagship program within education has been our storyteller program. So we really lift the voices of our amazing Muslim immigrant and refugee community members. So we're creating that platform for them. All of our stories can be found on our website and Facebook page, but we've lifted the voices of 7 people so far, and we hope to do more and more as we get more and more money like this prize to do that work. We also just launched our legal services program, as you mentioned in the opening. We have over 500 unaccompanied minors from Central America that have been released to South Dakota. People are really shocked to hear that. But we believe that we can make most impact in providing direct legal services, no cost to these children. They're all in immigration court. And we know with a lawyer, they have a 60% chance of obtaining a path to citizenship and becoming a productive and valued member of our community so they don't have to stay in the shadows. So that's where what we're doing.
Amy, tell me a little bit about what stands out about an organization like South Dakota Voices for Peace that connects with the J.M. Kaplan Fund to you.
Great. Well, I'll say that we have been doing a lot of work in the kinds of work that Tanisa just discussed. I mean, supporting unaccompanied minors and trying to support immigrant communities and anti-Islamophobia. But we've been mostly focused in our home, which is New York City, and other cities across the country. What really stood out for us about Tanisa's work is the fact that she's taking this cause to rural America. And quite frankly, you hear all the time that people need to do this work in rural America. You rarely hear somebody that not only is addressing it, but doing it so effectively. So we found, you know, just such inspiration in the work that she's doing. And, you know, just meeting Tanisa, she just really shines a light on the optimism and opportunity that these communities provide to their neighbors. And I feel like we're just so lucky to have a leader like her taking this into rural America, this work. And our hope is that she will really set a model and a pace that other communities can feel like they can follow.
Tanisa, do you think the model is replicable?
I absolutely think it's replicable. I think we have just, you know, similar to what Amy mentioned, people always, the New York City folks, the big city folks, are always talking about, well, how do we do this work in rural America? And what I think South Dakota Voices for Peace has been so successful at is, though we're leading the charge, there are so many people who are following and part of our movement. We really see our work as social change work. You know, we are fighting top-down legislated hate, and we're building bottom-up. And really, I don't like to use the word empowering because I think our communities are very resilient, but we're really kind of lifting them from the oppression of the systemic racism and policies that we see through legal services and civic engagement.
I want to tie a couple, if I can jump in, tie a couple of these ideas together because the J.M. Kaplan Fund, one of the innovation trends in the fund's 2019 report, as through your press release, Amy, talks about social justice increasingly being led by directly impacted people. And Tanisa, mm-hmm. you mentioned, you know, this early 2017 state legislative session where people who were impacted by the legislation showed up in Pierre to testify and be in the room. And then we look at this, you know, sort of urban and rural conversation. So much of it, Tanisa, is about showing up and saying, we are here.
Absolutely.
This thing that you have on the piece of paper in front of you, that's me. That's my life. I am that person. I am Muslim.
Right. And I think what was really surprising to me, I had never been to Pierre until 2017, though I've been living here since 2012. Very unengaged with local politics and policies. But when I walked into Pierre, no one looked like me. No one had a faith like mine. No one even seemed to have much empathy towards people who look like me or have different faiths. So I realized just being there, right, and saying, hey, I'm a lawyer, I kind of know about these things, and providing the facts and the myths and just being able to have conversation. You know, our legislators, they really impress upon how they're citizens too, and that has worked in our favor because all it took was having conversations. Because if you think about it, right, we've defeated 80% of the bigoted laws that we've seen in Pierre. The only way we can do that is by reaching across the aisle. So we're showing that having conversations, being present, showing our legislators that all of these communities, though we might not be great in number, that we do exist here and that those laws, if passed, would directly impact us and show them how that would work.
Yeah. And Amy, you mentioned, you know, we talk about sort of making somebody into an other. There's also this other of rural America that in urban areas, in places like New York City, there can be a tendency to just to say, hey, out there in that place we've never set foot, this thing is happening. Talk a little bit about that, if you will, Amy, just sort of taking down those walls of other as it comes to just rural America, places like South Dakota that so much of is rural.
Yeah, well, I'll say that we know here in New York City that we live in our own little bubble. And one of the real joys of this prize has been our ability to reach across the country and network with different sort of groups. And we use community foundations and other folks across the country to help us find the brilliant Tunisas that are out there. And we will say that looking back over three rounds of this prize since 2015, probably some of the most extraordinary successes of this program have been in places that are not in the New York bubble or the LA bubble, or the West Coast bubble, or the East Coast bubble, but really investing in folks across the country where we've learned a lot and we hopefully have brought good resources to them. So I think I have every expectation that Tunisia will outperform again, and not to say that we pit our urban and our rural folks against one another, but there's definitely an opportunity. And I think one of the things that we do as part of the prize is bring our awardees together five or six times during the 3 years of the award, and it really gives them a chance to work as a cohort. And what we realize is sometimes folks working out in rural America don't have easy access to a peer network that shares some of the same challenges and lifting up a new organization and taking on some of these really difficult causes. So I think we find that in many ways, we're most effective when we can invest in places that aren't already inundated with resources and philanthropy, and we're excited. And I will just say, and Tunisia doesn't even know this, but I recently attended a conference for communities across the country that are trying to achieve universal representation for the folks in their state that are facing immigrant detention and deportation. And it's clear to me that Tunisia has already had a systemic impact throughout the Dakotas, Minnesota, and that region, and that there's a real network of people, and that, you know, she will just build and build in that network, and we hope to be a part of that.
Tunisia, let's talk about this word network, because earlier in this conversation you mentioned how many, you know, there's legislation that directly targeted immigrants, refugees, Muslims. But then there were these events, and you and I had conversations about these events. We had conversations with people who were, you know, presenting at these events to find out what was going on. But you really found a network in South Dakota of Islamophobia that was organized, which I think was surprising to many people who really hadn't thought about some of these gatherings that were filled with people having presentations that were complete misinformation about the nature of Islam, for example.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been the fascinating part of doing our research. And we have a board member out in Rapid City, Lori Miller, who has taken on that research piece, if you will. But we're really using a model that has been established by the Center for American Progress, and they wrote a national report on Islamophobia and found that there are very specific think tanks, media outlets, grassroots organizations, lawmakers that are part of what they call Fear Inc. And it's Islamophobia and how $57 million have been pumped into this network of organizations and individuals to perpetuate this bigotry and the dehumanization of Muslims, immigrants, and refugees. Because as we know from statistics, some of the communities who are targeted by anti-Muslim hate are in fact not even Muslim. Like the Sikhs who wear turbans, they're not Muslim, but, you know, people think they are, and then the hate crime ensues. So Islamophobia for us means all of those things, anti-Muslim, immigrant, and refugee. And we have found that almost all of the pieces of that national report has touched South Dakota in some way. So we have our hate groups here in South Dakota. We have our individuals. We have legislators. We have churches. We have media outlets. All of the same kind of sectors that are in this report here in South Dakota, and we're just building more and more of that information. What I will say is since 2017, we've been very vocal about these events and who these speakers or authors on book tours or whatever are. And we've seen less and less open advertisement of these events, specifically in 2019. So we like to think that our being vocal and bringing attention to who these folks really are is paying off.
And Amy, I want to go back to something that, again, is in the Growing Grassroots Resilience Report on this year's prize as far as trends. And one of them is government is not the enemy of innovation. And as Tanisa was talking about conversations with legislators and lawmakers, what are you seeing, Amy, from a big picture standpoint of, you know, how some of these applicants are partnering with government agencies for social challenges?
Well, it's clear that there's certain challenges, many challenges that we face, that there's just no way the philanthropy and just private citizens rolling up their sleeves are going to be able to make the kind of system change that's required. So we sometimes think some of the most daring and innovative projects are those that really take on government and try to find the good in partnership and in partnering with governments. And, I do hope people will download our report, which is at our jmkfund.org website, so they can read more from the grassroots report that you're so kindly referencing. But there is, for example, an effort to work with the National Park Service to build jobs and opportunity for folks to do the really, really careful craftsmanship that keeps our historic fabric intact in America. And the National Park Service has the most expertise in that, but not always the best resources in being able to reach out and find the communities that need the jobs that could come from that training. So we feel like sometimes those are the most creative and daring of projects, but they're not easy, right? Large government agencies, even state government agencies, sometimes even local government agencies can be perplexing. I'm a recovering bureaucrat, so I can say that. But it's truly going to be necessary to build those types of partnerships to make some of the changes that I think we really need to see in our country.
Well, Tanisa Islam, you are a frequent guest on this show and will continue to be in the future. Congratulations on the prize. The website for South Dakota Voices for Peace is sdvfpeace.org, and you can also follow them on Facebook. We'll put links up to the JMK Innovation Prize report and to Tanisa's website also on our website at listen.sdpb.org. Tanisa, thanks for being here again today.
Thanks for having me.
Amy Freitag, thank you as well. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.